We had Major Applewhite on a little earlier in the show for his weekly visit at 220. And just as we were talking to him, we were talking about controlling their own destiny, still a chance to win the American Athletic Conference. And if you're a Kook fan, just to give you a little guide as to what you need to root for in case you don't already know, you're still very much in the mix for a New Year's Six bowl bid, even with two losses, even with the loss to Texas Tech and the loss to SMU, because you only have one loss in conference. You still control your own destiny to win your half of the American.
Right.
And you hope that UCF keeps winning and you face an undefeated UCF in the
best case scenario
in the conference championship game. And some people may be going, well, why would I want that? Because that means UCF is going to stay ranked really, really high. And even if we beat them, they'll probably still be ranked ahead of us in the college football playoff rankings. The key for the Cougs, I think, other than taking care of their business, is you got to get Fresno State out of there. You need them to lose because it's the highest-ranked Group of Five conference champion that goes to a New Year's Six bowl bid.
You'd also like to see Utah State incur another loss.
Yeah, they're not in the top 25 right now, but just in case.
Well, they're in the playoff rankings, no?
They are not in the playoff rankings.
Oh, I'm looking
right
at the AP.
Now.
My
yeah,
bad.
They're in the
My
AP.
Bad. They are number 14 in the AP poll.
Yeah, but they're nowhere to be found. This committee clearly is smitten with Power Five teams. If you're in the group of five, unless your name's UCF
right.
or barely Fresno State, you're not in the rankings right now. So it's the highest ranked champion, conference champion of the group of five, which I think everybody thinks right now that's going to wind up being UCF probably. They're the chalk, but you never know.
Fresno State, I guess, is the other.
That's what I just said. They're 23 in the college
Sorry.
Football playoff. That's okay. They're 23, so you need them to lose also because, in theory, if they keep winning, they're going to stay ahead of you if you're the Cougs. Yeah, Utah State, I don't know. That's the one thing about the college football playoff rankings, Rich and Clint, is we don't get to see an also receiving votes.
Well, and if I'm not
mistaken,
ends
at 25, and that's it.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Utah State lost to Michigan State, I believe, early in the season,
yeah.
and they haven't lost since. And somehow that's keeping it out of the playoff top 25. That surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, I'd have to go look and see who else they played and how they beat them. I admittedly have not taken the deep dive into Utah State's
sure.
schedule this year. So you Cougs out there still have something to play for.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the Cougs is you got as many dynamic players as anybody in the country, with two of them before last week, obviously being mentioned in the Heisman candidate conversation.
Yeah.
Whether you believe that or not is irrelevant, but just having that conversation puts U of H in a league of their own. And they're a team that can take the field on any Saturday, and with those guys playing, they've got a chance on both sides of the football to win football games.
Yep.
So you got a lot to play for. There's no doubt about it.
It's just disappointing, obviously, after seeing how they absolutely manhandled
yeah.
South Florida,
yep.
what happened at SMU. And this next game against Temple is no easy game for them. And even the two games that come after that, which I believe are Memphis and Tulane, they're not bottom feeders.
Yeah.
These are teams a win or two away from becoming bowl eligible.
Tulane smacked South Florida around worse than the Cougs did. In South Florida the
right.
following South Florida, I said that before they played the Cougs, they were a big phony.
Apparently,
it beat
yes.
UConn by 8 points the week before. Like, UConn's terrible.
UConn is terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, I that's the Cougs were one of my big plays that weekend against South Florida just because I thought South Florida was a big phony. But you're right about that, Rich. You know, Tulane and Memphis are both teams that are decent teams.
I do believe, though, U of H is a team that if they just go out and handle their business, They should play in a championship.
They're more talented than all these teams on their
exactly.
schedule. Yeah,
they should win these next three games.
They should. They should. But they should have beat SMU probably also. So
and
we'll
let's
see.
Not forget, they lost to SMU with no Ed Oliver. That's no small
yeah.
factor
He's a
game
yeah,
to
but
take
they,
note of.
They got killed, though. I mean,
no,
Ed
I know,
Oliver's not
I know.
Worth 14
but I'm
points.
I'm mentioning Ed Oliver more for what it's going to mean in these next three games,
yeah.
really versus what it took away against SMU. It's a big boost for them to get him back.
Of course.
Well, it's big. It's big versus SMU, too. They want to run it downhill. It's Rhett Lashley, Gus Malzahn, you know, his former OC. So what they want to do, what their offense lives and dies with is running the football. Everything's predicated off running the ball between the tackles
yep.
for seven or more yard gains, and that triggers the tempo, that triggers the pass game, the
yeah.
screens, the shots. So it's not a stretch to say that Ed Oliver could have impacted that game enough to slow that offense significantly.
Here's the number that backs up what you're saying. SMU had 196 yards rushing against the Cougs, 54 more than they had in their last three games combined.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had a field day running the football with no Ed Oliver on the field.
Yep. Sure.
So let's pretend for a second that everything plays out the way that it's supposed to the rest of the year. Clemson sweeps through the rest of their schedule. Notre Dame goes on to win the three games they have left, although no Ian Book this weekend against Florida State. They're still going to be heavily favored, but that's a little problematic. But let's pretend they win their last three games. Michigan wins out. They beat Ohio State by, you know, field goal to a touchdown somewhere in there in that game. Right now the line on that is Michigan minus 3.5 in Columbus, to give you an idea of how far the mighty have fallen, even with just one loss. The odds makers are looking. They know how rickety Ohio State is right now. 0-5 against the spread in their last five games. And then let's pretend for a second that Georgia beats Alabama in a close game in the SEC title game. What is your playoff four at that point?
So you're saying Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan all win out?
All win out.
And Alabama suffers one loss to Georgia.
In the SEC title game by a field goal, a close game, like their national championship game last year.
I think what you're suggesting is that it's possible that even with that win, Georgia wouldn't be in.
I'm suggesting with that loss, Alabama might still be in, and Georgia would,
and then
Michigan could get. Well, I think the SEC champ is going to get in.
I'm having a hard time seeing a Michigan team that wins out at 12-1 not getting in.
I am too, but let's pretend it plays out for a second. They're not going to keep out Clemson and undefeated. Clemson and Notre Dame undefeated are making it, right?
Yes.
And Notre Dame beat Michigan head-to-head.
I think the right thing to do would be to choose one from between Alabama and Georgia.
Who do you take?
That's a tough one.
Well,
there's no doubt about it. Regardless, if Alabama finishes the season with one win, they're your third
one
team.
One loss, yeah.
I'm sorry, one loss. They're your third shoe-in, no doubt about it. I don't care how you unfold it.
Wait. Even if they get hammered by Georgia
SEC
championship?
That's what I was about to say. Absolutely.
The way it goes down in that game could be a factor.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't see anybody blowing out Alabama.
Yeah.
No, me neither.
I don't see it happening. But you got Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame are in. Even if Alabama loses one game, then it comes down to who is your other one. I mean, think about this. If Oklahoma runs the table, that means they had to beat West Virginia twice.
I mean,
that's a pretty special run now. Towards the end of the season, you're already sitting at six.
Have I mentioned the playoffs should be eight teams?
Yeah, you have. I knew this was coming.
I agree 100%. Yeah. I agree.
These are some of the reasons.
Hey, flip it. If West Virginia's sitting at nine right now, if they win out, they got to beat Oklahoma twice.
Yeah.
So those are two late season significant wins.
Yep.
Because they play each other the last game of the season. I mean, there's that fourth in whatever one loss football team gets, other than Alabama, if Alabama were to lose to Georgia, whatever it's Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, or West Virginia, whichever one. And we still don't even mention the Pac.
Washington State.
Here's the thing to me that I think is interesting, Sean, is that every year that it's come down to that fourth spot, and I correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you got a damn good memory, but there's always been one emblem on the side of a helmet that I believe was heavily weighted in who that fourth team
talking
was.
Talking about Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Yeah.
It was always the year that TCU and Baylor should have got in.
Ohio State jumped them.
I mean, that's one of those. And I get it. There's an argument to make for all of it. But this year, any way you slice that, there's going to be some pretty significant logos on the side of the helmets that this is going to be decided between.
Yep. The beauty contest of one-loss teams, especially if Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame all win out, and then you've got one spot for potentially three or four, probably three one-loss teams, because Ohio State and Michigan, one of them is going to beat each other. West Virginia and Oklahoma, one of them is going to take care of each other. Hell, they might both take care of each other
right.
If one beats one in the regular season.
How you solve it.
And then they face each other a week later in the Big 12 championship game. And then if Washington State wins out, there could be potentially three one-loss teams that are four, including Georgia, I guess, Georgia would lose to Alabama under my scenario. But anyways, I don't want to get too convoluted because on radio it gets to be a little unwieldy. The scenario I brought up, and I'm glad you reacted the way you did, Rich, is the scenario to me that is the most chaotic. Alabama losing in the SEC title game to Georgia. Because I think this committee clearly thinks that Alabama is a special, special, historic level team. To wit, LSU lost to them 29-0 and only dropped from 3-7.
Yeah.
I think we're naive. I think we're naive to think, and you guys may disagree with this, that they both wouldn't get in under that scenario.
Alabama and Georgia?
Because of how, maybe the word is overrated, the committee looks at SEC, the SEC.
I do too. That's why when you said Michigan has to get in, I'm going, no, they don't.
Well, for me.
Yeah.
You know, but when you look at what this committee seems to think, I think you're right. They think Alabama is a historically good team, and they still think the SEC is out of everybody else's league as far as depth of quality.
So you would drop Alabama out of the top five in that scenario?
Yeah, reluctantly.
I mean, you feel like somebody who would take the SEC champion that just beat them head-to-head.
Yeah, reluctantly, right? I probably would. Again, the manner in which that game goes down may play a factor, but this conversation just highlights how much I hate the system. Washington State
highlights how much I love it.
Washington, I know. Washington State lost a field goal by 3 points on the road at USC. If not for that, they'd be sitting at 9-0. I mean, if that's that field goal loss on the road at USC is the only thing between Washington State and an undefeated season, it's ridiculous that they're on the outside looking in.
Don't lose to USC.
I understand.
Yeah, don't lose to
USC. Well, there's a lot. I mean, you looked out.
USC's an average 500 team.
Yeah, if you extend this, though, guys, LSU dropping to 7 is a joke. That offensive output, you think with that offense you're beating –
right.
You're beating Ohio State and West Virginia. You're not beating
a
those teams below
the SEC.
You.
They do.
You're not beating those teams with that offense.
Along those lines, here's what's crazy, and we'll wrap this up, is if Alabama were to lose to Georgia in the SEC title game, even if they lost by double digits to Georgia, they would be favored by at least a touchdown over every one of the teams that would get into the playoff under your scenario.
You're probably right.
You know what I mean? Like
sure.
On a neutral field, Bovada sent this out. On a neutral field, Alabama would be favored by 21 over Notre Dame, by, I want to say, by 10 over Clemson, by 17 over Michigan.
Wow.
So the odds makers in this committee see Alabama. Would you have Alabama making it under that scenario if they lost to Georgia in the SEC title game?
Man.
Would you have Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame? Yeah.
I'd have Georgia, Alabama in again if that happened.
And then the two undefeateds, Clemson and Notre Dame?
Yeah.
So Michigan would get squeezed under your
Michigan
scenario.
Michigan would get squeezed.
Yeah.
But I say that. I'm not buying the Alabama is the – they're good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They're really good, but LSU's defense slowed them down. If there was any kind of offense, that would have been a total different game.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.